Now, we preached last Sunday night on a little at a time. And what we dealt with was the gold that was in the temple and the gold that was in the king's house being carried off a little at a time. And we even find in this chapter right here that the gold of the Lord's house and the Lord's house had been broke down at this time. But we're going to find that there was a restoration of right. And what I mean by that is we preached the last Sunday night about the gold being carried off. We're going to find out that they made some things right and got back to worship. And just because the gold gets carried off in certain places in your life or in this church, or we try to guard all that. Even though some things that may not be exactly right, you can fix those things. And that's the great thing about it. If you get messed up on something, just stop what you're doing and turn around and head back the right way. Amen. And we'll find out that sometimes it takes a little work to get that done. But read with me in 2 Chronicles chapter 24 and verse 1. And the Bible says, Joash was 7 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Ziba, Beersheba. And Joash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. And Jehoiada took for him 2 wives, and he begat sons and daughters. And it came to pass after this that Joash was minded to repair the house of the Lord. And he gathered together the priests and the Levites and said to them, Go out in the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. And see that you hasten the matter. Howbeit the Levites hasten not. And the king called for Jehoiada, the chief, and said unto him, Why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring in out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle of witness? For the sons of Athaliah, that wicked woman, hath broken up the house of God, and also all the dedicated things of the house of the Lord did they bestow upon Balaam. And at the king's commandment, they made a chest and set it without at the gate of the house of the Lord. And they made a proclamation through Judah and Jerusalem to bring into the Lord the collection that Moses, the servant of God, laid upon Israel in the wilderness. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced and brought in and cast into the chest until they had made an end. Now it came to pass that at what time the chest was brought into the king's office by the hand of the Levites, and when they saw that there was much money, the king's scribe and the high priest's officer came and emptied the chest and took it and carried it to his place again. Thus they did day by day and gathered money in abundance. And the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. So the workmen wrought, and the work was perfected by them. And they set the house of God in his state and strengthened it. And when they had finished it, they brought the rest of the money before the king and Jehoiada, whereof were made vessels for the house of the Lord, even vessels to minister and to offer withal, and spoons and vessels of gold and silver. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually all the days of Jehoiada. But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. 130 years old was he when he died. Now, I want you to pay attention to verse 16. I'm not going to preach right here, but I want you to pay attention to this. And they buried him in the city of David among the kings, because he had done good in Israel, both toward God and toward his house. Now, Jehoiada was the priest. He wasn't the king. But the Bible said right here, and they buried him in the city of David among the kings. They buried that priest among the kings. He had done so good for the nation of Israel that they even honored him in his death. Boy, wouldn't that be a great testimony for all of us that we honored God so much that they wanted to honor us even in our death? I thought that was great. You can be seated this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you. We love you. We thank you, Lord, for the songs that's already been sung. We thank you for the crown of thorns that you bore for us that day at Calvary. Lord, thank you for saving us because of Calvary and because you gave yourself. And Lord, you offered yourself to us, and all we had to do was come. And I pray everybody here this morning has done that. We look across the house, Lord, we don't know people's salvation, but you certainly do. And I pray if there's somebody lost, you might save them. But Lord, if there's somebody got a need, I pray you meet that need this morning. As we stand to preach, I pray that you give us an unction from the Holy One. I pray you touch us and anoint us afresh. Now, Lord, as this goes out on video, as it goes out on the radio, as it goes out on the internet, I pray that it would be a blessing and that to people that they might learn of you and serve you in joy and in happiness in their life. Lord, again, we certainly want to thank you for Calvary. Lord, I pray you'd save that sinner that's near his tail and help us while we preach for these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want you to understand what's taking place here by the time we get to chapter 24. If you go back to chapter 22, you'll find that Jehu comes in and he kills a king by the name of Azariah. Now, Azariah, King Azariah of Judah at that time, has a mother by the name of Athaliah. And when her son, when she finds out that her son has been killed by Jehu, Azariah, she goes and kills all the king's sons and sets herself up as queen. But she's missed one. She has missed Joash. If you go back to the book of 2 Kings, his name is pronounced Jehoash. There's a H-O in there in the middle. And so you find that she kills everybody, but one of the daughters of a previous king comes in and takes that baby who was about a year old and steals him away. And by the way, she happens to be the wife of Jehoiada the priest. And they take him and they put him in the house of God and they begin to raise him and kept him hid for 6 years. Now imagine how hard it must have been to hide a baby. Imagine how hard that it must have been to hide and keep all this thing going. They have to realize Queen Athaliah was a wicked woman and she served Baal and she took things and that out of the house of God and moved them and that over unto the temple of Baal. Not only that, the temple began to become in disrepair. Now if you read in 2 Chronicles chapter 23, you'll find out that Jehoiada takes Jehoash, who is now 7 years old. I know there's a lot of Jehus and Athaliahs and all kinds of names in there, but stay with me, okay? Listen, so he brings the king, who's 7 years old, and he takes his priests, who are valiant men and men of valor, and he breaks them up into thirds. He's got a third standing at the gate. He's got a third in the temple. He's got a third over here, and one of those thirds is surrounding the king, and he brings his boy that is 7 years old, brings him into the house of God, and takes the crown and puts it on his head, and they begin to sing and begin to praise and lift up their voice unto God, and Jehoiada says, God save the king. Well, here comes Athaliah out there, and she sees what's taking place, and she cries out, treason, treason. And the Bible said that Jehoiada had some of his men take her and take her outside the gate over there, and they killed her. I mean, they just killed her dead. I mean, there's one problem, done gone. You know what you got to do sometimes with some problems in your life? You got to kill them dead. Amen. I ain't telling you to go kill somebody. It's a problem in your life. But I'm saying when there's some things that arise that is keeping you from serving God the way you need to, you got to mortify that thing and get it dead. Amen. And get it out of your life. They also went over to the temple of Baal. They killed the priest over there. And so they began to set up some things that is right in the land of Israel. There in Judah. Now understand what's going on. You find as we read right here that Joash, the Bible said that he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Now there come a time when he didn't do right. We're not going to deal with that today. But the Bible says right here that in verse 4 that Joash become minded to repair the house of the Lord. He wanted to fix what was wrong. Now God stirred in his heart, no doubt, and stirred him to want to fix what was wrong. Don't you like to fix what's wrong? Can I ask you that question? If there's something wrong in your home and in your life, don't you want to get it fixed? I do. I'll be honest. Hey, I mean, if it's whether it's spiritual or whether it's physical, I mean, if the roof's leaking, don't you want to fix the roof? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't like the roof leaking. I don't like having squeaky floors and all kinds of problems. But listen, whether it's in your personal life, whether it's in your spiritual life, whether it's in your home, whether it's at this church, listen, if there's something wrong, which I hope there's nothing wrong. I don't think there's nothing wrong here at the church. I hope not. Listen, we're all just trying to struggle to get through how this mess that we're all in right now, ain't we? Amen. I mean, we need to stay focused and that on God. But I want to give us something that might help us this morning. Now, as we read about Jehoiada, you'll find out he was minded and that to serve God. So we come down to verse 4 and we find that Joash was minded to repair the house of God. So what does he do? He gathers all the priests and the Levites and said to them, he said, go out in the cities of Judah and gather of all Israel money to repair the house of your God from year to year. He said, look, the house of God's going to need some help from year to year. It's going to need some work. I mean, it ain't going to stay perfect all the time. How many of you own a house and your house hadn't needed repair over a period of time? Shingles wire out, metal wires out. My screws are backing out on my metal roof now after 17 years. They're beginning to back out. I mean, I got sheetrock cracking where the house is settled. Our paint's faded. I mean, the carpet's getting wore. And things have just got to be fixed along the way. Hey, can I tell you the same rest in our life? Sometimes if we let things go, listen, they got to be fixed. The quicker you can jump on it, the better off you are. But I want you to look right here in preaching on the restoration of Ryan. Notice he said, you go out and you hasten to the matter, but howbeit the Levites hasteneth not. Now, number one this morning, I want you to look at the resistance to the repair. Now, as I read this, I did not understand why the Levites didn't go out. Did you catch that right there in verse 5? He said, howbeit the Levites hasteneth not. They did not obviously want to fix what was wrong. Take your Bible and go over to the book of 2 Kings chapter 12. I want you to look with me in 2 Kings chapter 12. And we get a little more in the story right here. 2 Kings chapter 12 and look in verse 4. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 4. And Jehoahaz said to the priests, all the money of the dedicated things that he's brought in the house of the Lord, even the money of every one that passeth the account, the money that every man is set at, and all the money that cometh into the man's heart to bring unto the house of the Lord. Let the priests take it to them and every man of his acquaintance, and let them repair the breaches of the house, whosoever in it, wheresoever any breach shall be found. But it was so that in the 23rd year of King Jehoash, the priest had not repaired the breaches of the house. And then King Jehoash called for Jehoiada the priest and the other priests and said unto them, why repair ye not the breaches of the house? Now therefore receive no more money of your acquaintance, but deliver it for the breaches of the house. He said, look, you've went out, you've collected money, you need to bring it in, we need to fix what is going on. And he said, don't take any more money until we get this thing fixed. And it said down in verse 8, and the priest consented to receive no more money of the people. But then look in the rest of verse 8, neither to repair the breaches of the house. There was something going on. The Bible don't elaborate. It don't tell us what's going on right here and why they felt that way. But for whatever reason, they didn't want to fix what was going on. You know that sometimes we get satisfied and content in the shape that we're in. Those Levites might have been happy had to serve with holes in the wall, with a leaking roof, with things broke down. They may do this long. We might do a little longer and we don't have to fix anything. I don't know why they didn't want to fix it. I don't know why they didn't want to do what the king said. But he said, howbeit the Levites hasten not. Obviously, they were not serious about fixing things. You ever seen people that's serious about something? They get after it, don't they? You ever seen somebody that's serious? They've been boys that I've been around, and they talk about building a house. And the next thing you know, they broke ground, and a month later, there was a house standing right there. It took me and my wife 3 years to get a house built. Some people, it takes them about 3 months and they get a house built. But these boys, for whatever reason, they didn't hasten to get it done. As a matter of fact, it seems to me that in 2 Kings chapter 12, that they had been taking advantage of the situation. They had been taking money from people to build the house of God, to fix the house of God, but they didn't do it. That's just what I read. I'm not trying to read between the lines. I'm just telling you what I read right there. King said, don't take no more money and go ahead and fix it. Hey, listen, I know a church right now that is dilapidating and falling down upon itself. Folk are still meeting there. Some years back, they said, look, said, we'll build us a new church. When we get to $20,000, we'll start on breaking ground and getting headed in that direction. Just need $20,000 to get started, and we'll really do something about it. You know, they told me that just in a few months, they had that $20,000 already saved and ready to go forward. And you know, when they got that $20,000, nothing never happened. Nothing never happened. Nothing never went forward. Nobody never turned back. You know why? They don't want to leave that old church. And I understand folk have sentimental values. I understand that folk have got memories that are built into a church. But I'm telling you, if God's blessing you enough how to be able to build a new church, and you need a new church, and people's willing to give how to build a new church, I believe I'd give and do it. Amen. But here they are. They had people giving. They had people willing and wanting to do it. But the Levites, those that were ministering in the temple, said they didn't hasten at this job. I kind of wonder why they didn't hasten. I think that sometimes they did get content of how they were serving. They were okay with holes in the wall. They were okay with maybe the door not shutting right and gold missing here and gold missing there. They were okay with missing a utensil here and a utensil there, missing this part that they needed to have. But listen, I don't want us to become okay. I don't ever want us to become content with the way and that we serve God and the way that we give our life to Him if it's not okay with Him. Amen. Listen, be contented. If your life lines up with the book, be contented, friend, and serve God. Amen. But listen, they had got contented in a place where they didn't need to be contented at. The house was falling down around them. Kind of much like our nation today. Would you agree with me today that our nation's falling down around itself? And if God don't intervene on some things, we're going to be in a mess, ain't we? And I'm telling you, there's a lot of churches. It's falling down around, not necessarily the building, but it's falling down around them. And they're just going to be content to serve God the way they are. I don't want to be content if something's wrong. I don't want to be content with what's wrong. I want to fix it and move on where we can have God happy with us. Now, let me ask you something. That was the whole idea. That was God's house and them serving Him in that house. Them sacrifices that they're going to give here in just a little bit, as we read about, those sacrifices was to Him. Those sacrifices was for a sweet-smelling savor, and that unto Him. Hey, listen, when we serve, we ought to serve to the best of our ability. And if there's something needs to be fixed, let's fix it. I want you to look what happens. The king calls him to the carpet, don't he? He calls Jehoiada, which is a great man. He really is, if you read the story of his life. And said to him, why hast thou not required of the Levites to bring out of Judah and Jerusalem the collection? Said, why have you not done this? You know, God calls us to the carpet sometimes, don't he? And says, why haven't you fixed this? Why haven't you done this? And listen, there's always a reckoning day for us. A reckoning day. There's always a reaping day, but God asks us, you know, He shows us, and they knew what needed to happen. They needed to repair it. They needed to fix it. It's like things need to be fixed in our life sometimes, but they wouldn't do it. I want you to look, number two, at what the king told them. You know what he does? He returns to the Word of God. It's what he does. And by the way, you got a king over here that was 7 years old when he began to reign. He's reigned over 20 years at this point. And you know what he begins to do? He begins to quote the Word of God on them. So he goes back and returned to the Word of God. So the first thing he asked them, he said, why is that required of the Levites to bring out of Judah and out of Jerusalem the collection according to who? According to the commandment of Moses, the servant of the Lord, and of the congregation of Israel for the tabernacle witness. He said, why ain't you making them do what the law said to do? He said, go back and look in Exodus chapter 30 and said, you'll find that when they come in, how to give their sacrifice, that they're also to give some money and that for the house of God. Go back and read that sometime. In Exodus chapter 30, starting around verse 12, I believe this. He makes a proclamation. I mean, not only does he say that they need to do this because this is what God required. And in verse 9, he makes a proclamation just like Moses did in the Old Testament when they were out there in the wilderness and they were going to begin to make the utensils and make everything for the tabernacle. He said, I want you to bring gold and silver and all kinds of fine items and fine things and bring it and give it to God. You say the children of Israel were slaves down in the land of Egypt. How did they have gold and silver and all those things? You know, the night that they left out of the land of Egypt down there, them Egyptians was giving them gold and silver and pots and pans and all kinds of stuff. Moses said, go over and ask them if you can borrow it. And you know what? They let them have everything that they could because they wanted them Israelites out of the land of Egypt. They wanted them out of there. Now listen, don't you think God knew that He was going to be able to use that gold and that silver and all those things for His tabernacle later on down the road? I was just to a preacher the other day preach on the tabernacle. And he was doing a good job, and I had never thought of this. You know, when Moses was up there on the mount, either God come down high from heaven and showed Moses that pattern, read the book of Hebrews, either showed Moses that pattern, or He took Moses up into heaven and showed him that pattern that was in heaven. Now think about this. Moses had to build an earthly tabernacle with earthly things on a heavenly pattern. Think about that for just a second. Who are we supposed to be like? Not one another. We're supposed to be like Christ Jesus, the Lord. Listen. He's gave us a heavenly pattern with earthly things to build it after. Amen? He's following me? So we take the best that we got and we give it to Him. Notice they return to the Word of God. Said what we want you to do is not only bring like you're supposed to, but He makes a proclamation and said you bring all that you can. Listen, He said go to Exodus chapter 36. I want you to go to Exodus chapter 36. And I always found something very comical about Exodus chapter 36. I'll show it to you just here in a second. Exodus 36. Let's begin to read Verse 1. Let's make sure I'm right here. Then wrote Beelzebul and Ahilah. I hate words sometimes you can't say. Aholiab, an every wise hearted man, in whom the Lord put wisdom and understanding to know how to work all manner of work for the service of the sanctuary, according to all that the Lord had commanded. And Moses called Beelzebul and Aholiab, an every wise hearted man, in whose heart the Lord had put wisdom, even everyone whose heart stirred him up to come unto the work to do it. And they received to Moses all the offering which the children of Israel had brought for the work of the service of the sanctuary to make it withal. And they brought yet unto him free offerings every morning. Every morning, children of Israel got up, they brought him an offering for the work of the Lord, for the work of the tabernacle. And all the wise men that wrought all the work of the sanctuary came every man from his work which they had made. And they spake unto Moses, saying, the people bring much more than enough for the service of the work which the Lord commanded to make. And Moses gave commandment, and they caused it to be proclaimed throughout the camp, saying, let neither man nor woman make any more work for the offering of the sanctuary. So the people were restrained from bringing. What a great day when the preacher stands up here and says, don't bring no more money. That's what Moses was saying. Moses said, we've got enough gold, we've got enough silver, we've got enough workers, we've got enough to get it all done. But wouldn't that be a blessing in the church if the preacher said, every work that we want to do, somebody's doing it. Somebody's driving the bus. Somebody's taking care of the videos. Somebody's doing the radio broadcast. Somebody's teaching Sunday school, leading the singing, playing the piano and the instruments. Somebody's doing it all. Wouldn't that be a blessing for the preacher to stand up and say that? That's what Moses was saying. Moses was saying, you've brought everything that you needed to bring. How many of us can make that statement today that we've brought all that we needed to bring? I ain't talking about your pocketbook right now. By the way, have you brought all that you need to bring out of your pocketbook? But listen, he returned back to the Word of God. He went back and that to the days of Moses and began to look and see what needed to be done. You go over to the book of 2 Kings. And you'll find that, as we're going to read on just a little bit more, you find that in the book of 2 Chronicles, he said, make a chest and set it out there. And the Bible said that Jehoiada in 2 Kings took that chest and he bore a hole in the top of it where people could put money in it. Let me tell you what, men, you need to do when it comes to fixing our life. We just need to back up and look in this book right here. We just need to stop where we're at, and if we've got likes and we've got content in the situation that we're going, then we just need to open this book up and see what God has to say that needs to be fixed in our life. And that's what Joash done. He just went back and he said, Moses said to do this, and Moses done this, and that's what we're going to do. The Word of God says this. Listen, you're to love your neighbor. I can't get away from this. I'm going to preach on this one day on brotherly love. Let brotherly love continue. Listen, we're to love our brethren, our sisters in the Lord. We're to do that. We're to give what God wants us to give, and then just live right in a present evil world. Just live right. Love your neighbor as yourself. I'm telling you, if you love God with all your heart and with all your soul and all your mind and all your strength and you love your neighbor as yourself, listen, everything else will fall into line. What was it the Lord Jesus Christ said? On those two hang all the laws and the prophets. So he makes a proclamation. We're going to do what Moses done. You know the proclamation in our life. We're going to do what the Word of God says. No matter how hard it is, no matter what I got to give, we're going to do what the Word of God says. I think it's a good way to run your home tonight or today. I think it's good. Now I want to show you something. Number three, look in verse 10 right here. And all the princes and all the people rejoiced. Can I tell you something? Number three, not only did they return to the Word of God, not only was their resistance in repair, but there come a time when the people rejoiced to do it. They rejoiced. They rejoiced to fix what was wrong. They rejoice to do right. Don't you like to do right? I hate to do wrong. I wish my wife was here this morning. She would tell you that I love being right. I love being right. And it took her a long time to figure out that sometimes that I would just argue with her for the sake of arguing. I knew that she was right. I knew that I was going to be wrong. But I would just argue and argue and argue for the fun and for the sake of arguing. But I love to be right. But you know something else? I love to be right with the Lord. Because when I am right with the Lord, then you know what? I'm right with everybody else. If I'm right with God, I'm right with everybody else. Got to be. But listen, I know that my life is pleasing unto Him. I know that my life, He enjoys my life, and I can rejoice in Him. You know, there's not a whole lot of rejoicing when I know I'm not right with Him. You know what? They knew they were doing right. They knew that. They were trying to get something that was wrong and make it right. And even though it was costing them to do it, they still wanted it. You know, sometimes for us to rejoice in doing right, it's going to cost us. It's going to cost us. May cost you some friends. May cost you part of your family. Listen, there's some people you don't need to be around. Amen. I know their family. I know their friends. They've been friends. But sometimes you just don't need to be around them. They're going to get you in trouble. I've told you this story many times. There's a boy that I run with somewhere in my early teenage years. And my daddy, he was, you don't need to be around him. As a matter of fact, he told me not to be around him. Did I listen? No. Now, I'll be honest with you, though. It didn't take long. And that was about the time that I got saved, somewhere in there. And you know, the more that I look back on some things, God worked some things in my life that is really just amazing when you begin to look at them. These boys that I was running with, about the time that I got saved, one of them moved away, and it wasn't too much longer till another moved away. That boy that daddy didn't want me running with, he moved away. God worked some things out. There's no telling what kind of trouble I could have got into if I would have still been running with them boys. I'm just saying God worked some things out. But they rejoiced to do it. Now, can I tell you, do you ever rejoice when something costs you? Now let me say this. Had they been doing right all this time and been keeping up the house of God like they needed to and not give up the gold like they did and give it over here to the house of Baal and give a little bit here and a little bit there, it wouldn't have cost them near as much if they would have done what they were supposed to back over here. Am I making sense with you today? I hope so. I'm just trying to keep us out of trouble. Amen? Trying to keep us out of trouble. they rejoiced to give. And I believe they done it with a rejoicing heart. You know what? When I know that I'm pleasing the Lord, I can rejoice in my heart. It may cost me. It may cost me some things out of my pocketbook. I took a job here a while back, and I told the Lord, I said, now if I take that job, Lord, I'll give half of that money to missions. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes says it's better not to make a vow than it is to make a vow and break it. You know what I'm going to do with that money? I'm going to give half of it to missions. You've got to be careful about some things. But listen, he said to let us give. Now, talking about money, let me park on your pocketbook here and mine here for just a minute. He said, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give not grudgingly or of necessity. For what? God loveth a cheerful giver. You know, I believe that not only works out of our pocketbook, but I believe that works out of our whole life. Say, Lord, I'm willing to give you this and give you me, and whatever needs to be fixed, I want to fix it. And if you'll just give me instruction to fix it, I'll do it. And just want to be right with you. They wanted to be able, now listen, they're fixing this because they wanted to be able to serve Him right. Listen, there's missing utensils in the house of God. They's missing gold, they's missing silver, there's holes in the wall. Listen, there was a reason God built this the way that He built. I ain't got time to get into the tabernacle or the temple and all those things, but God had it built for a way that He had it built, and God has us serve for a way that He wants us to serve. And they brought in, the Bible says, and cast into the chest until they'd made an end. And the Bible tells us that they done it every day. They done this day in and day out. And they carried it, the Bible said they'd empty the chest, and they took it and carried it to its place again. Thus they did day by day. People gave every day. Do you know that in serving the Lord, we just got to give every day? We give of ourself, we look at ourself, we look into the perfect law of liberty and as a mirror, and we let it reflect back out of us as to what we truly are, and then we begin to work on what needs to be worked on. And so they gave every day. And the Bible said right here, and they gathered money in abundance. Just not a little, but a whole lot. It's amazing what a little bit of people can do when they're minded to give. Ain't that right? It's amazing what our little church does. I'll brag on you, church. I know that in the past 6 months, we've struggled. I mean, I'll be honest with you, and not necessarily financially, but we have just struggled as a church. People sick, people coming and going. You don't know. And I'm just saying that we've struggled mentally. Personally, you've struggled. I've struggled. Listen, we just don't know what's going on. It's a mess. But you've managed somehow to keep coming and keep serving the Lord and keep giving. And the Lord's blessed you and allowed you to work and still make money when other people ain't making money. Aren't you glad that the Lord gave you the job that you got? And able to go and do and put you right here in East Tennessee and put you in the country and then stack you up where there's 8 billion people on top or 8 million people on top of each other in the size that is smaller than McMinn County. Talking about New York City, by the way. You realize that, don't you? They got 8 million people in a size that is smaller than our county. And we've only got 52,500 people in our county. I rejoice all the time for that. In other words, you can go on your piece of ground and go hide from this thing. Amen. Listen, they rejoice to do it. Do you rejoice in serving the Lord? I hope you do today. I like getting things set right. I don't like it when they're wrong. Then I want you to notice number 4, they wrought in the work, didn't they? The Bible said right here, and the king and Jehoiada gave it to such as did the work of the service of the house of the Lord and hired masons and carpenters to repair the house of the Lord, and also such as wrought iron and brass to mend the house of the Lord. You realize that sometimes to fix things, it just takes work. You know, if something goes wrong in our church, we had our church at least reshingled, tore the metal off of it, and reshingled. If you pay attention, there was a spot right there. You can see it crinkled up on the sheetrock. After we remodeled this church, I remember coming out of the choir one day, and one of the young men looked up and said, "Hey, we got a leak right there." And you're talking about frustrating to the preacher after we'd spent all this money getting this thing fixed and the roof leaks. Man, that's aggravating, ain't it? You know, it's kind of the same way in our life. We do all this work to try to get us straightened up and worked out, and we let a little thing slip in on us sometimes. You ever done that? You ever kind of let the roof leak in your own house? But you know what they done right here? They set out to do the work. You know, sometimes it just takes work to get it done. That's one of my daddy's favorite sayings, still is today. He'll say, son, it's just work. You just got to go get it done. You just got to do it. And when you do it, you get it done and it's over with. It's just work. You know, sometimes in our life, it's just work. Whether there's some things in there. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the hardest things that I ever done was to quit smoking. That was hard. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. That was a tough thing for a young man to do. Why? Well, then things will grip you. I mean, they'll grip you. But you know, it was a bad testimony. I'll be honest with you, it was a bad testimony. And not only that, Scripture was working on me. On top of that, but you know what? It was work to quit those things. You know, sometimes just to fix some things. And you know, I think I had everything else in pretty good shape. At least I think so. Amen. I might have been like them Levites over there. I might not have just been hastening to some things. I'm just giving you some examples. But sometimes it's just work to fix things. You know, when your house has been set in disarray for so long and the house has been out of order for so long, sometimes it takes work to get it put back together. Just takes work, man. Just takes work to get everything lined up. When a church gets out of order, sometimes it just takes work to get it put back together. Just takes work. So here comes these men. God had gave them wisdom to be able to do the work. God had gave them the unction to do the work. He gave them the ability and that to do the work. God has done every one of those things for me and you. He's gave us the resources to fix, to do the work. He's gave us the ability to make sure that it gets done. It's put in our court. And by the way, it's just work. You just got to do it. Just got to do it and get it done. So they were fixing it and working on it. But if you look, I believe that these men also got paid. They got paid for their work. Can I tell you that when we work for the Lord and we fix what's in our, maybe in our life that's wrong, or in this church house that's wrong, or in your home that's wrong, whether it's some kind of sin or maybe something is out of order or whatever it may be, when you begin to fix those things and you begin to work at those things, you know what? God begins to reward us for those things. God don't have to. He shouldn't have to. But He does. He begins to reward us and bless us for doing the right things and going the right way. Listen, they worked at it, but they were getting paid to fix it. And I believe the Lord was well pleased. And I believe that, listen, the Lord would be well pleased with our life. Verse 12 said they fixed the problem. Whatever was wrong, they fixed it. In verse 13 it said they wrought, and the work was perfected by them. In other words, they got it all done. They perfected it. They worked till they got it right until they got it done. And the Bible said, and they set the house of God in His state and strengthened it. They got it where it belonged. And man, they made it look good. And then they gave it strength. I believe that, listen, the house of God was getting weak. I don't know if the foundations were crumbling. I don't know what was going on. But you know, you put enough holes in that wall right there, we're going to have some roofing problems. I know a church right now, the trusses were built wrong for the church. And you know, over a period of time, those trusses began to pull apart. And you know what began to show up? They didn't know that the trusses were pulling apart. They got to noticing that the sheetrock was cracking on the side walls. You know what was happening? As them trusses was coming apart, them walls was bearing the load to hold it all together. And it was just pushed slowly, pushing that church apart from the top down. They were pushing apart. And so finally, somebody said, hey, we better get up here and look in the attic, see what's going on. They got up there and looked, and them trusses was just coming apart. A thousand wonders, the church didn't fall down. You know what they had to do? They had to go back in there, and they had to fix every one of those trusses. Well, actually, what they done is they tore the whole roof off the church and reset trusses and put a whole new roof on it. Fixed the sheetrock, painted it, and done it all. And you know what happened? You know what the preacher told me? He said, I thought, now listen, this church, that church, well, probably about as long as ours and maybe a little wider. And sanctuary side. And he told me, he said, I thought we was going to have to go down to the bank to get the money to pay for all that. But he said, you know, when they gave me the bill on that, the quote on that, he said, well, we just took up a few offerings and covered it. It was astronomical what they got that done for. I mean, to tear it all off and put it all back on and have it fixed and sheetrock. I mean, it was somewhere between like $12,000 and $16,000 to have all that work done. You realize that sometimes if you'll just set forth, I'm going somewhere, if you'll just set forth into the work, it may not be near as hard or cost you near as much as you think that it might. They had plenty. Listen, if we'll just put forth to do the work, keep it right. See, I would rather keep it right and not have to work on it. Don't want no breaches in the wall. So, you know what else they done? They set the house of God in estate and strengthened it. Verse 14 tells us that they went over and they made them utensils to serve with. Now they're talking about doing what God wants them to do. See, they couldn't serve right because the house wasn't right. You realize you're the temple of the Holy Ghost, and if you're not right, you can't serve right. They couldn't serve right. The house wasn't right. The utensils weren't right. They didn't have what they needed. They'd let all that stuff be taken away. And so they make those spoons and they make those vessels to minister with. And I'm telling you what, now the Bible don't tell us this, and I'll read between the lines and you can throw it out. But I'm telling you, I believe God was happy. I believe when they lit off that first stick of wood and throwed it under that altar out there one day, and then they got out there in the temple and they were doing what they were supposed to do and having that sacrifice and doing what God had required of them, I believe God was tickled to death. And finally, somebody fixed some things and got some things right. Number five, you know what they done? They remained faithful. They remained faithful to serve. Look at verse 14. Look at it. The last part of it. And they offered burnt offerings in the house of the Lord continually. All the days of Jehoiada. They done what they were supposed to do. All the rest of your days, you're to just do what God wants you to do. Just say, this is what we're going to do. This is what we need to do. They returned. There was a restoration of right. They started doing right. And they started doing what they were supposed to be doing. Now it cost them. They had to pay. They had to work at it. But you know what? I believe God looked down and had that sweet smelling savor coming up. And they were just, he was tickled to death. Don't you want the Lord to be happy with your life? Boy, if something needs to be fixed, you can fix it. You can get what you need. You know that you can do, and I can do, what we need to do to serve the Lord. We can do right today. Let's bow our heads today across the house as we stand to our feet. Are you serving the Lord like you should? Get just a little music back there, Jacob, if you would, son. Are you serving like you should? Doing what you should? Maybe there's some things that need to be fixed and worked on in your house, in your life, in your home. I know that sometimes I get a little tough about some things going on here at the church. And you know why I get that way sometimes? Simply because I just don't want to have to fix a greater problem later on down the road. You know, if we fix small problems now, little problems now. Look at them little issues now and say, Lord, I want to work on them now. Whatever it may be, I want to work on them now. If God spoke to you, I've been very vague about things and problems. But if you, God, need this morning, won't you come? Won't you come and just let the Lord help you today? Say, Lord, I want to work on some things, but I'm going to need some help. I know it's going to cost me some things, but I need some help, Lord. If you'll send me some help and give me strength to do these things, Lord, I'll do them. I'll do them. If you need to come, I need to come pray for somebody. I don't know what the need is. Maybe you're lost this morning, never been saved. I want you to come. Jesus loves you, died for you. If you need to get saved, I want you to come today. Whatever the need is. Some's praying, won't you come?